We have imported a very, very special speaker for this evening. Yes, we have. And so I do hope that all of you will realize that she is a guest here this evening and treat her nice.
Is it Hallie?
And it has happened a few times before when she came to speak that people stuck their feet out and tried to trip her and everything. So I couldn't get her to come back again. But now that I've paid a lot of money to get her here for you people, I hope you'll be really nice to our Lindy! Woo-hoo! It's our Lindy.
Yeah. Go Cardinals! Uh-oh, here comes Chewy. Trouble.
What was it that somebody once said, the evil that men do lives after them? I'm always going to be hearing go Cardinals until they win the Super Bowl next couple weeks. And I appreciate that I'm fickle, or some people think I'm fickle, but I'm only rooting for the Cardinals because the Chargers aren't playing. Just so that's clear. I want to start off the evening with a small joke, and with all due respect to the people who are blonde. A blonde died and went to heaven, and St. Peter said, "I'll let you in through the pearly gates if you can name the Son of God." And the blonde said, "Son of God, Son of God. Andy." And St. Peter said, "Andy?" And she said, "Yeah, you know, Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me." Today, this week is a very special week within our church. Within the last 2 days, from Monday until today, two of our favorite people have had birthdays. On the left, Charlotte. On the right, Andrea.
And we're both 21.
That kind of takes the juice out of my talk. But I am speaking about young, beautiful, passionate, compassionate, giving, godly women. Humble, too. Seriously, Deborah Lee Johnson, who's a local singer, wrote a song that's called "The Beauty That You've Always Been." And I wanted to quote it in honor of Andrea and Charlotte this evening, because they are worthy of songs of praise. "You are wisdom and honor. You are mother and child. You were young, now you're older, only because it's your birthday. You are timid and wild. So laugh, sweet woman, till you cry, till you see with clearer eye the wonder that we've always seen, the beauty that you've always been." I want to talk about special lives and ministries, and Andrea and Charlotte and certainly Millie represent those special ministries and lives. In Wikipedia, I had to look up Apocrypha because I had to have a Wikipedia citation of some sort, and I have a quote from the Apocrypha, Wisdom of Solomon. So Apocrypha, from the Greek word something, meaning those having been hidden away, are texts of uncertain authenticity, writings where the authorship is questioned, and there are New Testament apocryphal books and Old Testament apocryphal books, and if you're interested, feel free to Wikipedia yourself. But from the Apocryphal Wisdom of Solomon, it's a wonderful quotation that applies to these women and to, in fact, all of us here tonight, because I see so many beautiful, powerful women. "There is in her a spirit that is intelligent, holy, unique, manifold, subtle, mobile, clear, undefiled, distinct, beyond harm, loving the good, keen, unhindered, beneficent, philanthropic, firm, sure, free from care, all-powerful, all-seeing, and interpenetrating all spirits, that are intelligent, pure, and most subtle. And she penetrates and permeates everything because she is so pure. For she is the breath of the power of God and a pure emanation of His almighty glory. There are nothing defiled can enter into her, for she is a reflection of the everlasting light and a spotless mirror of the activity of God and a likeness of His goodness. That's a lot to absorb, but it's a definition of a beautiful, godly woman. A woman who is created as a reflection of God and who honors God and who is a likeness of His goodness. And Millie and Charlotte and Andrea are all in this category. Now, I was randomly reading the Bible, which is a skill I learned from Millie, and I stumbled across the Paul's first letter to Timothy. I didn't even know Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, and now I find out he wrote two of them. But this set passage from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 to 15, is almost a menu or a recipe for a ministry and a godly life. And I want to share with you how I believe it applies to each of these three women and to all of us, in fact. Verse 11, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, that would be Paul, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, that was the entire passage, verses 11 to 15. But I want to take apart each verse and share with you why I think it applies and how we use it. Command and teach these things. The song that goes with that is Teach Only Love. For love is the golden key. Love is the key that unlocks the door. Love, it's that sets us all free. And certainly Millie teaches us daily. She teaches us love. She is the epitome of teaching of love. And Charlotte and Andrea are the epitome of learning those teachings and demonstrating them in their lives. Andrea, a mother of four sons, has extended her love to her nephew and his friends who are baby Marines. They wouldn't appreciate being called babies, but they're all around 20. And they are a great bunch of guys, and Andrea has invited them into her heart and into her home. And they were singing karaoke until 2 in the morning the other night. Interesting choices of songs also, beginning with Ice, Ice, Baby. So, teachers of love, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. All of us have learned how to set an example in life. We've learned it from the greatest example we can encounter. And we can look around us and see other examples of setting an example for the believers. Some of us in speech, some of us in faith, but all of us in love. Millie has four daughters, three of whom she gave birth to. The fourth she adopted because she knew that Jenny was meant to be her child. Elaine Hefner in the O Magazine in 2003 said, "The art of mothering is to teach the art of living to children." Andrea has not only her baby Marines, but her four sons, who were also singing karaoke the other night with some equally interesting choices, like 50 Cent. Goo Goo Dolls. I don't let anyone look down on me because I'm young. But I never heard of some of the groups that they were singing. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. One of Millie's daughters wrote a song that directly applies to this verse. O God, I am far from being all that I should be, but God, everything I am is yours, so use me. That would be 2:16 in your songbook. And in Genesis 46:2, God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here I am. Number 82, Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. If we accept the challenge, as so many of us in this room have, to live a godly life, then isn't it only right that we would accept God's invitation, or even, God forbid, volunteer? I'm glad that Andrea's nephew and his friends are Marines, because I understand that Navy stands for Never Again Volunteer Yourself. And that would certainly be contrary to living a godly life, because we're called upon to do what God asks us to do, not what we want to do. The question is not, what do we want to do with our lives? The question is, what does God want us to do with our lives? And while I was Wikipediaing, I was also YouTubing. That's kind of like inner tubing, but different. And I came across the recorded versions of movies of Here I Am, Lord, Be Not Afraid, and On Eagle's Wings, which were written by friends who were all of the same priory at the same time. And those songs have leapt into the Catholic liturgy and are some of the most popular songs in Christianity today. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Now, we've heard on numerous occasions from Corinthians about the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, the gift of teaching, the gift of wisdom. I think you would agree with me that these three women, and in fact everybody in this room, demonstrates one or more of those gifts. Romans has a slightly different take on the gifts of the Spirit. Romans 12, 6 through 8, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Well, we have women in this room who are encouraging, teaching, prophesying, contributing to the needs of others, giving generously, governing diligently, and cheerfully showing mercy. What more can we ask? Pretty great group, I'd say. I'm noted for quoting country music, and this might be the shortest country music quotation of my career, but there's a wonderful song by Jim Brickman, sung by Martina McBride, called The Gift. And the chorus of that song is, You gave your love away, and I'm thankful every day for the gift. That's a beautiful sentiment that really applies to Charlotte, to Andrea, and to Millie. You give your love away, and I'm thankful every day for the gift. Verse 15, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. I'm not sure how it directly relates, but I do have another longer country music song quotation. You know, I was told over the weekend that the song would come to me. And last night at midnight, I was praying for it to happen soon. And I realized that there really was only one song that both applied to this verse and that was a special favorite of Andrea's, not knowing Charlotte's favorite country music, or not even knowing that Millie likes country music all that well, other than Andy Landis and Ricky Skaggs and Dolly Parton. And somehow Romeo just wouldn't fit in this talk. Romeo's a Dolly Parton song that we tried to get played on the radio some years back. And my favorite line is probably inappropriate, but it was, "I'm old enough to be that boy's lover." So anyway, on the theme of love. Besides, now it's too late to take it back, right? Okay, so this is a song by Colin Ray called Love Remains. We are born one fine day, children of God on our way. Mama smiles, Daddy cries, miracle before their eyes. They'll protect us till we're of age, and through it all, love remains. Kingdoms come and go, they don't last. Before you know it, the future is the past. In spite of what's been lost or what's been gained, we're living proof, love remains. We all live, we all die, but the end is not goodbye. The sun comes up and seasons change, but through it all, love remains. An eternal burning flame, hope lives on, and love remains. So be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. Allow love to lead you and guide you. And you will become an eternal burning flame. Now, I want to continue with number 16. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Rumi said, if you've opened your loving to God's love, you're helping people you don't know and have never seen. That is saving yourself and your hearers, and saving people that don't even hear you, but hear the echo of your words. A month or so ago, Jennifer Skiff came and told us about how Millie had taught her the meaning of the phrase God stories. Jennifer Skiff then wrote a book inviting God stories from all around the world, compiling them into a book of God stories titled, strangely enough, God Stories. So Millie's teaching to all of us about God stories has reached out around the world. The book's being translated into more than 10 languages, Brazil, Germany, and many others. And she's persevering in her life and doctrine, planting spiritual gardens all around the world. And this book is facilitating that Millie Appleseed journey, even though it was Jennifer Skiff who wrote the book. Millie was the catalyst for the publication and the catalyst for more people around the world recognizing their own God stories. If you've opened your loving heart to God's love, you're helping people you don't know and have never seen. What a better example of that than our Millie. But each of us, and certainly Charlotte and Andrea, as well as Millie, have lived long enough to realize their own selfness. They know who they are, and they are God's children. And Joseph Campbell said, the privilege of a lifetime is being who you are. They know that, and they recognize that, and they are all they are. But some of us are still struggling along that path. Some of us need to look in the mirror and say, I love you, a few more times. I'm talking to myself here. Mr. Rogers had an answer for that. When we love a person, we accept him or her exactly as is. The lovely with the unlovely, the strong along with the fearful, the true mixed in with the facade. And of course, the only way we can do it is by accepting ourselves that way. And Hafiz, Persian poet of the 12th century, says it more succinctly. I wish I could show you, when you are lonely or in darkness, the astonishing light of your own being. I wish I could show all of you, when you are lonely or in darkness, the astonishing light of your own beings. This has been a rather serious topic for me because I find these three women to be great examples of everything that our church stands for. And I didn't want to make light of it too much because it's a gift that they share with us, as do all of you who are smiling back at me or frowning back at me, as the case may be. But there are no mistakes in all of us being here tonight, because we're all here from love. We're all here because we love others around us, because we give love to people we don't know, because we know enough to love ourselves. Or if not completely, at least we're working in that direction. And I can look around the room and see so many loving faces, so many loving hearts. But I wanted to leave you with a little more humor, so I extracted a story from the internet that epitomizes what I'm trying to say here, sort of. It's about a little boy who was walking home from school. He did it every day, in fact. But on this particular day, there was a great thunderstorm in the area. And his mom was concerned that he wouldn't make it safely home in the thunder and lightning. So she went out and drove to school along the route that the boy would take walking home. And she caught up with him as he was approaching halfway of his journey. And she noted that every time the lightning flashed, he stopped walking and smiled with his head up in the air. And finally she stopped the car and got out and said, what are you doing? Why do you keep stopping? And he said, I'm trying to look nice. God keeps taking my picture. If each of us lived our life as if God were constantly taking our picture, every time one of those photo-enforced lights flashes in your face, smile and say, thank you, God, I look nice for that picture. Instead of saying what usually comes to mind. We all face storms in our life, and if we can smile and recognize that God is in the lightning and the thunder, as well as in the sunshine, God is in the rain, as well as in the sunshine, God is in Cleveland, as well as in San Diego, then we'd all be happier and more willing to reach out in love than we already are, which is saying something. So may God bless all of you, and especially Charlotte and Andrea and Millie. Thank you for being examples of love. Thank you for being ministers in the model of Paul's first letter to Timothy. Thank you for being my friends and my spiritual family. And thank you for giving me this time.